Welcome to another edition of the Puro Pinche Primos.
Hola, primo and primas. We are back. We are the Puro Pinche Primos. I'm your primo, Luis Velasquez. That's your primo, Christopher Casello. And welcome to the Tennessee Titan version of the Puro Pinche Primos. We're going to be talking Tennessee Titan free agency. Next week, primo, the NFL is in its free agency mode. The Tennessee Titans have, I think they're the second most money out of any NFL team. We have a new coaching staff. We have a top 10 pick in the draft. What do you think, what would you like to see the Titans go after for this NFL free agency?
The only person that I want them to go after is Derrick Henry. I want them to go after Derrick Henry. Oh my God, I'm so scared. I'm like really, really scared. And I'm particularly angry that I purchased this jersey and now I got nothing out of it. I got like eight
You're
wears
so
out
bad
of it.
Luck. You're oh so my bad God. Luck.
Yo, for real, I'm not buying jerseys anymore. For anyone that doesn't know, I had a jersey 1 year of AJ Brown.
Yeah, you're not a jersey guy, right? You're not.
I'm not a jersey guy.
Right.
I've not been a jersey guy since I was a kid. And by kid, I'm talking about like high school. And did not buy a Titans jersey for years and years. I think the last jersey that I had from them was a Warren Moon jersey, which says a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the white one, right?
Yeah, I had a white one. And I finally, like, I love, which is going to be great for this particular episode, I love wide receivers. Wide receivers to me are just like,
yes,
they're just like the most prime, like, athlete, right? Like as far as just like physique and like what they can do, they jump high, they run fast, you know, their eye hand coordination is insane, like they just do it all. So anyways, AJ Brown was my one jersey when we finally got. I was like, this guy's amazing, he's incredible. And within that first year of having that jersey, which is not really his fault or anybody else, but got traded,
right?
I don't know if that's really a jinx, but now then once he left, got a Derrick Henry jersey, and now Derrick Henry is about to leave in free agency, and now it feels like a jinx.
Like it's a jinx. I will say this, hold on to that AJ Brown jersey. There's a lot of talk coming out of Philadelphia.
That's what that I'm saying.
He is like they're gonna get rid of him this offseason. I'm all that, bring him back.
Yo. You telling me that he wouldn't want to be with D-Hop and D-Hop wouldn't want to be with him?
Yeah.
But we need Derrick Henry.
I mean, listen, nobody is more of a Derrick Henry fan than me, right? Search. Nobody. And I've already come, like, the realization that he's going to be gone.
Yo, man, you just like
he's just going to be gone. Like, he's not, it's not going to come back.
Listen, man, I'm not going to become one of those people that gives up hope before things are done. All right?
I'm just trying to give you a lot soft blanket to lay on, okay? Just be prepared next week when we get that notification that he has signed.
I'm not here to create problems, cousin primo.
Oh, man. Okay, all right. Tennessee Titan free agency. You want Derrick Henry? That's not going to happen. That's not even a big need for me.
Yeah.
For the Tennessee Titans. Big need is offensive line.
Yes. Most importantly,
wide receivers.
Yes. Can I say this? Because we haven't even talked about this.
Yes. Yes.
Have not talked about this whatsoever.
Okay.
The video clip of T. Higgins.
Yes.
Saying that it would be ideal to be back in Tennessee with a coach he's already played.
Right.
Yo, when I saw that, oh my God.
Yeah, whoever says like, that, what receiver ever says?
Nobody does that.
Nobody. You know who else said they wouldn't come to Tennessee? The Brock Bowers. He's the number one tight end in the draft. He's probably going to be a top five pick. And
I know what you're talking. Yes.
And you. Nobody ever answers that question, right? Nobody, when they say, you know, where would you want to be? They always say, you know, well, whoever picks me. No, this dude said, I would love to stay in Tennessee. I would love to be in Tennessee. And he was like, what?
Yeah.
What is this world that we live in?
I don't know. All of a sudden, it seems like we're the place to go. And this is the thing. How much is that the coaching change?
Yeah.
Right?
A lot.
How much of that, which I think is actually the real thing, is the coaching change tied to the development of Will Levis?
Yes.
Because I think that everybody realized that not only does Will Levis have a cannon.
Yes, he does.
But he's accurate as hell with that cannon.
Yes.
Some of those throws that he made to D-Hop last year, I was like, yo, people yeah, can't make those throws.
To me,
Aaron Rodgers can make those
D-ball,
throws.
The D-ball, he is like, is A-plus for me. Like, yeah. Now, the underneath routes, the out routes, the 10 and under yeah. out routes, like he's not very accurate with that stuff. But anything over 20 yards, like he's going to put it on you.
Yeah. And so this is the thing, though, is I feel like that is so much harder to coach and teach than the underneath stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you can fix
it. You get the right stuff. Guy. You can fix exactly. Yeah. You can fix that in one offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think guys realize that he's like a gunslinger for real. And again, how lucky are we that this guy sunk to what? Where did we get him? The third round?
Second round.
When he was supposed to, or they were hyping him to be a top 10 pick.
Right.
And he's now like just like fallen in our laps. Very similarly, I will say, to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, yeah. Another second round pick. Yeah, I mean, I've got hopes for Will Levis. I don't know if I'm all the way sold that he's going to be the dude. I think we'll find out. Like, he's got 2 years to prove it, right? This is the coaching staff. He's got an offensive yeah. mindset coaching staff. We've got. Like, he's brought in some good, like, we haven't talked about the coaching staff, really.
Exactly, yep.
And I love this coaching staff. Yeah. I love him bringing his dad over
yeah.
to coach the offensive line. Last year, he was the number one offensive line coach in Cleveland.
Yeah.
The defensive coordinator we got from Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
right? He's a DB coach.
DB coach, yeah.
In Baltimore, their number one team. Against the pass. The year before that, he was a DB coach for Philly. And that year, they were number one team against the pass. I think that dude, like, but I think he's a young dude. He's going to be like a D'Amico Ryan. It's like, we're going to have him for like 2 years. And then he's going to get a head coach. Yeah, and then he's going to be a head coach somewhere. So, but I think I love that. I love that coaching hire. But going back to free agency, I've always been a firm believer of like, whatever you're going to do on free agency, you're going to do the opposite for the draft. So if you're going to do, free agency is going to be all about defense, drafting, I'm going to all be about offense or vice versa. I think mm-hmm. this year with what is available in the NFL draft, like I think we go defense. I would like to see to go defense in the free agency.
There's a lot of which.
So I saw a rumor. Yesterday that I saw, and it, going back to the defensive coordinator that's coming from Baltimore, Patrick Queen is rumored to be interested in the Titans. The linebacker, their number one linebacker in Baltimore last year, Pro Bowler Patrick Queen.
Yeah,
if we can get that dude to come over. We have not. That, yep. You talk about, you know, we always talk about like we never have a wide receiver. We've never had like that yeah. dude at linebacker.
Linebacker, yep.
We've never. Agreed, yep. Our best linebacker in the history is Keith Bullock.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have never had that kind of dude in.
Yeah. In, no, and he's a. Not only is he like a full on Pro Bowl star. But he's a team leader. He's a captain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like, you give that guy the C as soon as he signs.
Automatic.
He's going to bring everybody together.
Automatic. Now, today, there were a couple of cuts from the Buffalo Bills, and as soon as they got cut, I was like, yep. We have Tre'Davious White got cut from the Bills, and Jordan Poyer, safety, got cut. And as soon as they got, I was like, we need those.
Yep. So that's exactly what I was going if you're talking about going after defense and free agency, across the board, there's a bunch of people, a bunch of DBs. Byard is also back on the market, was released from Philly. Not to say to bring him back, but like as far as like culture wise,
yeah,
right? Like if we are able to get a linebacker, like you mentioned, like Queen to come to the Titans, and then you match him up with a Byard who is already known, like the culture of the team and the organization, that type of like leadership and tandem can work really well. But aside from that, there is just like a bunch of guys available. And one person that you brought up, I think like either during the Super Bowl or right after the Super Bowl, was Snead.
Yes, who sir.
Looks to be on the trading block.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The Kansas City Chiefs just franchise tagged him. Report from Shefty today was Tennessee Titans had reached out to the Chiefs about, you know, what it would take to get that trade. That's another thing. We've never had a cornerback, a shutdown cornerback, right? Like we
exactly. And, well, back to the years when they were still the Oilers, I remember that was like who you model. I was Chris Dishman.
Chris Dishman. Like shout out to Chris Dishman. He just got a coaching job at a HBCU. He's a head coach at HBCU down in Texas.
That's actually perfect for a Chris Dishman. That like just makes sense.
I saw that and I went right. I was like, man, where is my Christmas Dishman jersey? I went to go find it. I found it.
I
found my Christmas Dishman jersey. signed with the blue pin. still signed with the blue pin. But Kendall Fuller is available. He's a cornerback from Washington. That's another one I wouldn't mind having for them to reach out. There's a button like In this year's draft, and I'm just barely getting into it right now with the draft. Started last night, watching a bunch of wide receiver tapes. But there's 15 wide receivers right now in the draft that can be a one or a two wide receiver.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's – we will get like – I think the first two picks are going to be offensive tackle – wide receiver or wide receiver offensive tackle, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about – there's not a lot of wide receiver free agencies out there unless, you know, cutting season happens and like maybe like Gabe Davis maybe.
Yeah, he's our fantasy nightmare, Gabe Davis.
I wouldn't mind getting one or two linemen through free agency. Right, there's an offensive tackle from New England that's out there. There's a guard, or we're gonna need a center. There's a center guard from Cleveland, Nick Harris from Cleveland. He'll be a good one. But yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to have I'm just excited about the future of the Titans right now, right? Like I was kind of like I don't know how I felt about Vrabel getting fired, right?
Yeah.
I was already like I thought we should have given him one more year. But there may be something to it cuz nobody wanted him. Right?
Yeah. Also too is that like once this coach got picked up, once we hired this coach, is when I started like feeling hope again for the Titans, because I think you knew me at the end of the season, my thoughts were like, oh, here we go, it's like all going down the toilet, like it's just like falling apart. And now this head coach has seemed to like rejuvenated things, and I'm wondering how much the decision to, like, let's say, let go of Vrabel was because they knew this coach is going to be available and does want this job. Not to say that they tampered in any way, but to say that everyone tampers.
Right, yeah. I don't know if that's – I've heard I heard Rand Carthon talk, and then I heard the president of operations – I can't tell you his name. They just hired him. And there's like the coded talk that they're like, we're looking for leadership and not necessarily, both of them said, we're not looking for a coach that is going to talk down to players.
Yeah. Right. You mentioned that before in a previous episode.
Yeah. Like not talk down to players and lift up players and just be able to connect more like that. And I thought the funny thing was when Vrabel got fired, you know, Taylor Lewan was always a big time Mike Vrabel fan. But even when he got interviewed, he was talking about, oh man, like Vrabel's a great coach. I don't know why they got rid of him. Da 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 da. And then he talks about, like, literally after that, he talks about, yeah, man, but it was rough. Like those film sessions, like he tore me down and just embarrassed me in front of everybody and doing And I was like, ooh, okay, that's where I think that's why he doesn't have a job. But
probably. And also, you know, we've seen the like the total reverse of that with what we see in this coach in Miami, who's a hype man, right? And how much being a hype man goes a long way for culture and getting guys to play their best, but also guys just being like loose.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that's really hard, I would imagine, as a GM is if it's like, all right, you're going to be a hard ass. But then what we saw this year is that they were some of the most undisciplined teams. Like they just played poorly and had so many penalties. Like, well, if you're going to be a hard ass and be undisciplined, then it's not working.
Yeah. This is where I always thought, this is always my thought of leadership, right? I don't ever want the people that I'm leading to do something out of fear of making me mad.
Yes. Yep.
Right? Yeah. I would want them to do it out of like, I don't want to disappoint him.
Yeah.
Right? We're in this together. We're going to do this together. Like, I don't trust like anybody under me being in so much in fear of me to get things done. Because they're not going to get it right. And they're not going to give you their true self, right? And so I think that goes a long way. You can't live off fear. Again, it's a new generation, okay?
Yeah.
It's a new type of players. So you have to adapt.
You know, one of the things, the coach that I first learned that from, because so much of our, like, coaching style that we had as kids growing up in Texas is like super hard ass. And then we obviously see that with like Popovich, which is what you're so vehemently against now, even though it got us 5 rings. But I think one of the things that in looking at that, I agree with you in that like you don't want people to operate, especially in like crunch time moments, out of fear because that's not their best. But the person that I remember seeing that and hearing that from for the first time and it really making sense to me and being like, damn, that's absolutely right. It was Pete Carroll right before when they were doing like all the profiles on everybody. It was right before that national championship game against Texas, right? That's like that iconic, like instant classic, legendary national championship. And him saying like, he was like, in a big moment, like, I don't want guys to be tight. I want them to be loose. I want them to be their fullest selves. I want them to give everything they got as who they are and not be so tight that in a moment that's huge, that tightness stops them from like being their best. And I remember just being like, damn, that's like such a completely different approach than what I'd ever received or ever thought about. That I thought it was amazing. And then Reggie Bush went on that long run and tried to like toss the ball back. And I was like, see, that's what happens when you're too loose.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, to me, it's always been like that was always my leadership style when I was in the Army, was like, we are going to work hard, harder than anybody else, right? We're going to do stuff that nobody else does, but we're going to do it together. And my wife, who's also in the military, she would always like, I don't understand why these guys do this for you. Like, and they're like, we'll go, hey, today we're going to go run 5 miles, right? Yeah. And they were like, but all the other people, all the other soldiers, they don't, you know, they get to go get Starbucks and stuff. Right. And it started off like that. By the time 1 year in, they're like, yeah, let's go do that fight. We're doing this because we're better than them. Right. And the same thing when I start coaching now, you know, my guys always are the only group that stays back after practice to run extra sprints. Right.
Yeah.
Always run extra sprints. And we're just, I said this to them. I was like, just remind that this is not a punishment, right? I'm not punishing you. And then one player in the middle of that, and it was actually a freshman. He's like, "No, coach, this is a gift you're giving us." And I was like, "Oh, okay, yes, sir. Okay, you got it already as a freshman. All right, I appreciate that."
I think that's one thing that took me a long time to really learn, like whether it's sports or anything else, is that the discipline or self-discipline doesn't have to be a consequence or a fear. That it's actually a focus, right? It's like a sense of focus, and how much like that can be difficult to instill in a young person as a coach, like as you're doing, or just working with young people in general, when that's never been a concept to them at all, right? At home. And how difficult that becomes. And I think that all that to bring it back is that, like, with Vrabel, it looked like there was that window there where everybody's game was like super tight,
right?
It was effective, right? And then all of a sudden, like, what happens is, if you lose enough games, which I imagine is part of what was going on, if you lose enough games,
you don't want to deal with that anymore.
Somebody's hard on you. It's like, yo, this shit's not working.
Yeah, yeah. Right? It's okay. It's okay when you're winning.
When you're winning, yeah. Exactly.
It's okay to be like that. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll deal with that. You can talk down to me because we're winning. But talk down to me and we only got 3 wins, like, that's another.
Yeah. And which is interesting now, and just talking about it out loud, like a concept to think about of, like, is what I'm doing going to be okay when things are down as opposed to when they're up?
Right.
Because if they're not, then, like, maybe I shouldn't be using this approach.
Right. I think the approach of, like, if you're going to be a coach and you think that, hey, everybody's got to adjust to my coaching style, is just old timely, right? You can't expect that. I was like, you have to know your players. I am a firm believer, just leadership in general. Like, you have to figure out, like, each individual person and what works with them. Some people can take being yelled at. Some people can take being talked down to. Some people you got to lift up. Like, you have to figure that out, right? They don't adjust to you. You adjust to them. And I just think that works better as being a leader. And being a coach, and I'm not sure that Vrabel took that type of approach, right? And so, like you said, when you're not winning,
that gets old real quick.
Yeah, it gets old real quick.
Yeah, I think so. I want to get back to this. Is Derrick Henry? You believe? Can you tell my agenda for this episode?
Yes, tell me about Derrick Henry.
You've said two places that you believe are gonna be. Which, like, knowing Derrick Henry, I like. Oh my god, bro! He can't end up in one of those two places.
Yeah. So the two places that I believe is, I think that his number one would be Dallas Cowboys. And then number two would be Baltimore. And then there could be something to all these cuts that Buffalo is doing. They were over the cap before all these cuts today. But I think Buffalo would be a decent third for places for him to go. But I think I think Baltimore and Dallas are real close to having a Derrick Henry on their team.
I'm very concerned about either one of those.
I mean, I don't like going to Baltimore, but I will take Baltimore over Dallas any day of the week.
Agreed. It's just that the more the chances that we'd have to face him. And I'm telling you, and I've said this before, if we get good and we end up losing to a team because Derrick Henry's on that team, I don't know what I might do.
We deserve that. That is
all right.
Who we are as an organization. We have never taken care of our stars at the end of their career. We did it with Steve McNair. We did it with Warren Moon. We've done it with Eddie George. Just not the type of organization that we've had.
So I'm going to move on from there again because I'm already just getting sad. So this is the part of the episode that I really wanted to have this episode is wide receiver free agents, because we got into T. Higgins.
Right.
So T. Higgins came out and said that he would like to be here.
Right.
Out of all these wide receiver free agents, who are the names for you that are like, that's a good fit and that gets me excited?
Well, T. Higgins did get tagged by the Cincinnati Bengals.
So right that after would, he said that.
Yeah, right after he said that.
That's why I was like, damn, why did he say that?
Yeah, we would have to...
We'd have to trade for him.
There is another receiver that was on that team that I wouldn't mind. It was Tyler Boyd, who is a free agent.
I don't want Tyler Boyd.
You don't want Tyler Boyd?
No. I want A.J. Brown, D-Hop, and T. Higgins. Well, I want them all.
None of them are free agents.
No, but I'll tell you, you know what? I'll tell you who I really, really want, who's a free agent. Like, if we can get this guy, I think he's a fit for Levis and also just, like, gets me excited for long-term. Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley, I'm okay with that. With D-Hop, I think are, like, a scary tandem because Ridley will run all that underneath stuff.
Yeah.
And then it allows D-Hop to go over the top. And I think that both of them are just, like, speedsters with great hands that can just make things happen on their own. Like, just get them the ball type of guys. And I think Levis is the type of guy that can and will humbly get them the ball right away.
Yeah. I think
Stephon Diggs is also disgruntled.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I thought when I saw the headline that I got was Buffalo cut five players to make room, I thought he was going to be one of them. I opened that up. I was like, oh, is he a good? Huh? No, they haven't. But when
I mean, you thought they would just cut him?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Here's the thing. I don't know if they're going to go all in free agency for a wide receiver. I think Higgins was going to be the one. But like I said, man, this draft class is crazy. Wide receiver draft, like I said, there's probably 15 wide receivers that can be a number one or number two on their team. There's probably 12 wide receivers that would have been the first wide receiver pick in last year's draft.
Yeah.
And right now we have the 7th pick. If Joe Alt would be the only offensive tackle right now that I would take over any other receiver, but if we can get Malik Nabers or Bourne from Washington, like those two would be a number one wide receiver for us next year. Like out of all this free agency guys right here, there's nobody on this list of free agencies that I would take over any of the probably like top five or six incoming wide receivers. So I mean I wouldn't be mad if they went receiver in the first round, receiver in the second round, right? Like literally, you could have your whole wide receiver core be like a Cincinnati wide receiver core right away. What about Odell?
Odell?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I was like, we already got D-Hop. We don't need an Odell.
Yeah. And D-Hop is way better level.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we have that, like, it's a steal for D-Hop to be on our team.
Yeah.
And I would hope that somehow he is, because I feel like D-Hop is the type of guy who is going to be, like, either recruiting or by convincing GMs and front office people to make moves. And my ultimate goal, based off of like reports from your homegirl Diana Rossini, is that it looks like they're both staying. And my hope would be that D-Hop is going to the GM. Sorry, we're back to Derrick Henry. And it's being like, I came here to play with Derrick Henry. But aside from that, you know, I am excited about, like, I feel like I still don't fully understand how to gauge wide receiver draft picks because obviously these guys are coming out pro ready.
Right? Yeah. Here's the thing that I've heard a lot of talk this week is pretty soon the wide receivers in the NFL may be looked at like the running backs in the NFL of where, like, hey, why spend all this money? Because the last five draft classes have always been the top draft classes, right? Like, we've never seen wide receivers come out before like this. And this draft class right now for wide receivers is crazy good. And yeah, they're just going to keep getting better, especially with NIL deals. They're going to keep, they're going to go back. They're going to stick, you know.
Yep.
They're not going to come out early.
All the 4 years. Yep.
You know, right. They're going to learn so much. Point. NFL, all like pretty much, well, now, you know, the Titans offense, NFL offenses are going to college style offenses more and more, right?
So guys are even, the gap is much shorter, right? I mean, smaller. Yeah, that's a great point.
And so that's what I do, Chris.
Yeah.
I just continually beat you down with all my good points.
But what about Derrick Henry?
Henry is gone,
that's
man.
That's all that matters.
Listen, I am prepared for next week. I got my tissues ready, okay? I've got my sad music ready. I've got my breakup songs ready.
There needs to be some sort of like repentance for like if they keep him, for you creating that bad vibes. No, but yeah, I think, you know, if you would have asked me in week 14, actually maybe 15, 16,
yeah,
what's happening with the Titans, I was just sad. And
I think if you listen to those episodes of ours, you hear the sadness.
You hear the
sadness coming out of us, just like,
We're like talking really slow and just like.
Well, I mean, just all around. Like I said, I listened to that podcast. This is the first time they've ever had a president of operations, right? Uh-huh. And then that guy, when he came in, he was like, look, like our analytic department, like we have to start fresh.
Yeah.
Like we are a startup group when it comes to analytics here in Tennessee. I didn't realize it was like that here, but we're going to get there. And I was like, thank God, finally, like we're getting to today's type of freaking football. Right? Which is why, again, I don't think we're having to get Derrick Henry. It's because we're moving to today's freaking offensive. And we've moved on from stop the run, run the ball, right? That's not
okay. So I have an even more intriguing question.
Yes.
Derrick Henry leaves.
Yes.
Who do we get for running back?
It's going to be a committee. It's going to start with Tajay, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, maybe Pollard can come in, right? Come back. He can come home to Tennessee. He'll be a free. He's a free agent.
Is he a free agent? Okay.
Yeah.
Was he injured at the end of the year? No, right?
A little bit. Like he had like an ankle or something.
Yeah. I'm down for a Pollard to be back. I'm a big fan of him. I don't know why they don't throw him the ball more. Actually, which is really weird.
A Naeem Hines, like it's not gonna be a big name, dude. Right? It's not Clyde Edwards-Helaire, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we got love for Deontay Foreman. I'm looking at the list right now. I got love for Deontay Foreman.
Yo, so do I.
You know?
I would not mind having him. I bring that man back.
It may have to.
I was sad
a big guy like Damian Harris, right? Because we're gonna need a goal line threat.
Yeah.
If Tajay is going to be the number one, we need a big dude. So maybe a Damian Harris comes in. DeAndre Swift is going to be.
He's a free agent?
Yeah, he's going to be a free agent.
That's right, he is a free agent. Nah, I think they're going to re-sign him over there. He had a pretty good year. And
yeah.
He's from Philly. Although, like, now saying it, I was already thinking it, but I was like, let me not try to get my hopes up. But I'm actually. I can see AJ Brown coming back.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm also not sure because AJ Brown probably got used to winning, and I don't know that he'll come back right away. But I'm also not sure where else he fits in the mix of teams that are contenders.
Right. Like, I don't know. They have to, if they trade that dude already, man, like, it's crazy. I can't wait to all the Chiefs men to come out from what happened.
Yo, because you know, look, you know some crazy shit happened. Because if he can't make it work with Jalen Hurts after years of making
they're
it work
best
with
friends. Tannehill. But they were best friends from childhood, right? That's why he went over there. And they have...
Are they?
Yeah, since childhood.
I didn't know that.
Since high school, right? They've been best friends. So something... No more than that. I've seen some footage of them in the locker room and like just giving like regular dap like to each other instead of, you know, it was just... There's something going on. I can't wait to see the 30 for 30 for that. All right.
Oh, man.
But yeah, come on home. Come back home. We will take you.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, pretty much that... Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, let Levis throw to that dude. He'll love it
all day. But yeah, I think primos and prima, that would be our episode for the Tennessee Titans coming to free agency next week. We can't wait. We can't wait to talk a little bit more. Getting close to the draft, you know that my time of year. We're about little more than a month away from the NFL draft. We got a lot more Titan talk coming at you. I'm your primo Luis Velasquez. That's your primo Christopher Costello. And we are out.